previously on Compassion Radio.
It's much quicker to train a early 20-year-old, 25-year-old, than to take someone who's farther down the road, who has a family, who has a career, and try to undo what they've already learned and redo it.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello and welcome to the daily radio ministry journal known as Compassion Radio. So grateful and blessed to have you along with us today. Quick note right off the top, we know that many of you listen to your favorite programs in so many different ways, via radio, podcast, iTunes, and the like. Well, we do post our programs each day right to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Simply click broadcast at the top of the homepage, and there's a simple drop-down menu right there. That way, you can always be sure to catch the program, even if you missed it on the radio. Today, we're in the middle of a tremendous three-part series. Let's jump back in now to day two of Bram's recent visit to the Czech Republic. There he spent some time with an extraordinary missionary of the living Christ to young people all over that part of the world. His name is Dave Patty, and here's Bram to get things started.
Dave, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yesterday we talked about the genesis of your ministry, your family's anchor into this community in Eastern Czech Republic. You just felt like God was kind of gravitating you toward the center of mass, mm-hmm. in Eastern and Central Europe, and Czech Republic sits right at the heart of that.
Yeah.
And now, of course, with the open market, the EU kind of absorbing a lot of these European countries and the pushback against Soviet thought and politics and lordship over these republics, they're beginning to blossom and expect more mm-hmm. of things. But they haven't learned how to expect more of life and of God and experiencing the inner freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so you begin that process in the schools, discovering it. You can share the gospel wide open with mm-hmm. these students.
Right.
So you got as far into the school as you can. You realize we need to get more and more going here. And you discover some other kinds of avenues to reach young people and transform them and get them ready for churches. What other things did God open up for you in the past 10 or 15 years?
One of the challenges, because people don't have much experience with churches, and church under communism was very much a fortress. It was about surviving. And so churches became really bunkers where they just tried to stay alive. So then things open up, and the bunker is a long ways away from anyone who's lost, and there's no bridges to the bunker because you take out all the bridges so you can survive.
And those who are inside a bunker have a bunker mentality.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Very much a protection mentality, not taking the battle forward. So as we began to develop English camps, our question was, what are other bridges that we can build that will actually equip local churches to reach into society and make a difference, not just sit and wait for someone to come? In the United States, you can wait and someone will actually come and show up at the door and come to your service. But to invite a Czech non-Christian to a church service, it would be like, you know, think of someone inviting you to a mosque or something like that. How you would feel of, oh, that's so far away. It's even scary.
Foreign cultures, a foreign everything.
Exactly. So there has to be, you have to kind of create a third place, a place where both of you feel at home and where you can influence the environment. And yet it's not, it's one of those third spaces. So we began looking at youth culture and identified five highways. And we were looking for things that are built into the culture. You know, if you want to drive, if I wanted to drive to the other end of the Czech Republic to Prague, I could just get out a compass and go straight, but it would be very hard. There's a lot of trees and mountains and things like that in the way.
Yeah,
that's right. Or I can look at a map and say, what's a road that was already built?
Yeah.
And it's best if it's a highway, if it's a road that was built to handle a lot of traffic. I don't have to build it, but I can use it. So we were saying, in society, what are the youth highways, the things that are already built that can be used for the gospel? Well, one of those we found for people here in this area was camps, because that highway was actually built by the communists. Young people love camps here. You can get someone to a week of camp and where you never get them to church on Sunday morning.
There's probably even places that were available to you to go have the camps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we began asking, what are the other highways? And we identified another four. So one of them is music. So I think about young people. What do they spend their time doing? Listening to music, creating music. Some of them following their rock stars. Young people love music. It's their language. Another is sports. Just think about young people like to play sports, learn games, partially because it's a way of them creating community, and young people are very relationally oriented.
And it's visceral. They get to get physical with each other, bond in ways that groups do when they actually do stuff together, do a difficult thing or learn a difficult skill and get better at it.
Exactly. Well, another highway is our schools. You think of how many hours a week a young person spends in schools. Well, they're already gathered there. We don't have to gather them. They're in community there. We don't have to build that community. If we can bring the gospel to that place and make a difference, how powerful that is.
And you're finding doors swinging open to you by the time you even set foot on the step.
Yeah, that's, we have schools inviting us in. And I can tell you some stories about even what's happening in Ukraine if you want later on.
Yes, but, please. We'll
yeah, okay, come back to that. So, and then the last one is media. In this area of the world, they've leapfrogged technology in terms of phone. In fact, when I go back to the States, I'm always surprised how often I lose a signal. Mm-hmm. Here, the signal coverage is very fast, very good, very fast. And everyone has a phone, even in places like Bosnia-Herzegovina or Albania. So we're exploring various ways of getting the gospel out through social media and media in general. So that's that fifth highway.
Straight to the computer in their hand.
Yeah. And one of the things about music and sports that most people don't realize is that the school system here is just basically about learning. So you learn your math, you learn your physics, you go home, study for your test, come back. They don't see their responsibility to provide social activities. So in a typical high school in the United States, you'll have band, choir, orchestra, a cheerleading, you have your homecoming game, you have however many sports you want to play, you have your yearbook, you have your honor society, you have all these clubs. In fact, for a high school student, that's most of their high school years.
Yeah.
Just take all of that out. Remove every bit of it. So there's no music program. There's no sports. Now, you can go to a sports high school. You can go to a music high school, and then that's what you study.
That's what we call a gymnasium or school over here.
Right. So the high schools will specialize, but you won't have a social program that's set around that. You won't have a mascot. You won't play other schools or sports teams. So if you can imagine the open door then for churches, if they'll do that, say, if you will provide some kind of, we do rock gospel choirs, if you'll do one of those, you're not competing with anyone.
Yeah.
Or you start a recreational league in soccer for young boys, you're not competing with anyone. So the open doors we have here to fill us kind of a sector of society, the church actually can step in and provide those activities, and they're not competing with anyone.
You have a secular society which was completely top-down dominant, mm-hmm. and they had obliterated the sense of community in that. And the only community that young people would have would be what the Soviet system offered them, their summer camps where they would actually make friends and have some reason to communicate over the year, and the kid in the next town I actually met at camp kind of thing. But while they were in there, little villages and stuff, they were just, boom, clamped down all those years.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're saying, you are the heart of your country. Let's build something here that's beautiful. And by the way, Jesus is in this.
Yeah, that's right. And all those are gospel saturated. We're not doing social activities because we believe that transformation comes through Jesus.
Right.
And so what we're going to do, if we do a sports team, part of every practice is some time in the Bible and talking about Jesus. If we're doing a music ministry, we're always talking about Christ. So this is not like we're going to spend months leading up to maybe, slipping in the bait. We, from the very beginning, even in our English camps, it's every day we are talking about Jesus. Gospel is front and center for us. The person and work of Christ is
right. You're also introducing a profound sense of identity that you actually can cross into a meaningful relationship in a family as defined by God himself. So this is about building a kingdom with the youth as the first generation to bring the whole country into that. And you do, in your value statements, say that you're going to transform nations by transforming the youth and training them up to go plug themselves into local ministry.
Yeah, that's right. Often people in ministry they'll look first at people's behavior. Behave, hey, you need to clean up your act, stop smoking, stop cursing, all those things. And then believe, and then you'll belong. And if you behave and you believe, then you can belong. Yeah. And we actually turn that around. We start with belonging. And we say, we love you. Come be a part of this group. Then we move to believing. Put your faith in Jesus. And now because you're a Christian, then how does he want you to live? We try to move from belong to believe to behave rather than the other way around.
And how are you a couple of generations into this ministry now, keeping faithful to that order so that you don't end up slipping into just a Christian culture? And people start saying, oh, if I like them, I just start acting like them, and then flip it accidentally and become that kind of organization where we are a behavioral organization rather than a transformational one.
Well, part of it is we have to recognize it's a danger for any ministry and just keep coming back to Jesus. And the core of the gospel is not about us learning to act like Christians. It's about the fact that we're sinners and Jesus died for us and we put our faith in him and we exchange our life for his, you know, that whole center of the gospel. So we just keep coming back to that. That's because it's very easy in the New Testament. They left it for a set of rules or cultural norms. And we always have to say it's about the core of the gospel is Jesus. We're sinners. We need him. Only his life can transform ours. We exchange our lives for his in faith and then enter into a true and transforming relationship with God.
Great stuff for you on today's Compassion Radio broadcast, and we'll get right back to the interview in just a moment.
This is Cher Nelson with a special word for those of you who are actively involved with supporting the broadcast ministry of Compassion Radio. You are our heroes. As you know, the cost of airtime is staggering and becomes more so each year. We're also grateful to each of you who give to our Compassion projects as well. Without you, we could not be the hands and feet of Jesus in these difficult places. But those of you who stand with us in the financial support of the ministry, especially you who have pledged a monthly gift, you are the backbone of everything we do, and we are grateful and blessed by your understanding of the need. Please give at CompassionRadio.com or call 1-800-868-2478. Or mail your gift to Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's CompassionRadio.com or 1-800-868-2478. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And I pray for blessings and the joy of service in your life.
Thank you, Cher. And to you, our dear listener, we so appreciate your partnership with us here at Compassion Radio. Reach out to us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, we're at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770. Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. Come on by and drop us a line today. It would bless us so much to hear from you. Let's get back now to the program.
The core of the gospel is Jesus. We're sinners. We need him. Only his life can transform ours. We exchange our lives for his in faith and then enter into a true and transforming relationship with God.
Well, let's review real quick before the end of this segment here about the highways. You started with an English language opportunity because you were an English teacher in a school. God placed that one right in your lap. It was a natural progression for you. Then you recognized there were four other highways. I'm not sure we covered all four of them, so let's say them all again.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next one's music, the music highway. And at some point, I could tell you more about what we're doing on these. And then there's the sports highway. There's the schools highway and the media highway.
Those are five.
And those things kind of erupted in different ways at different times, but you've recognized they are unique in their requirements and their opportunities.
Right. And then the one other thing I'd say is very important to recognize is this is all about equipping local churches. We're not a parachurch organization. We're a missionary team that believes and is focused on the local church. And so every one of these highways, we're not dropping in a nonprofit club or something, every one of these is directly tied to local churches because it's all about equipping the local church. So that's something I actually can't emphasize too much is our commitment to strengthening and empowering local churches. These are Czech churches, Polish churches, Latvian churches, and seeing them full of young people and these programs owned by them. So these every local program is owned by a local church.
The funny thing I've been hearing in some of these stories is how the churches responded to this new wave through Josiah Venture. Now, when they see you coming, usually when you think about a parachurch organization, a church might think, ooh, there's a threat here. There's going to be competition in my area for reaching young people. That's not the problem here. The problem here is that some of these churches are scared to death because you're dumping on them all of these new believers.
Yeah.
And so if they have a problem or a fear, it's that there's an abundance of opportunity we don't know how to cope with. Yeah. And then you come alongside the church itself and say, this is how we're going to help you integrate them and love them and mature them and build the future of the church in Central and Eastern Europe.
And obviously, we're in an area of the world where there's been lots of poor leadership and lots of deception and things like that. So churches will begin very cautious. They'll begin very skeptical. They just have been burned a lot of times in the past. And so what wins them over is fruit. And they look down the road at a church that's been working with us, we've been partnering with, and go, wow, I see all the young people in your church. I see the leaders growing. I see how your church is thriving. Could you help me as well? So the talk doesn't win them over. Fruit does. And there's really lasting fruit from our partnerships with these local churches.
You're not just talking about fruit within Josiah Venture. You're talking about the fruit that suddenly starts growing and maturing.
Yeah.
And
talking about the growth of that local church, the growth, the health, the vibrancy that happens in that local church.
Dave, to wrap up this segment, describe for me some of the distinctives between the countries that you've expanded into. Are there things about, for example, Estonia or Lithuania or the Baltics, where you're beginning to do work through Slovenia and then down into Serbia and other countries, that are really unique in their needs or that you find are really, really common or alike to the kind of work you're doing here in Central and Eastern Europe?
There's a common history of communism that marks this region, so that would be common. There also is, for many of these countries, there's a common Slavic ethnic background, not in all of them, but that would make them similar. But then you can get a wide range of differences. In the Czech Republic, where I live, the most secular country on earth, you go right across the border in Poland, and it's the most Catholic country on earth, and we're only just a few kilometers away. You go to other countries, and you have Orthodox is very strong. If you go to Serbia, they basically would believe that anything other than Orthodox is a cult. So if you're not an Orthodox Christian and you say you're a Christian, it's a cult. And we would go, Protestant Christianity has been around for how many hundreds of years? They would view it as a cult. And then you can go all the way south down to Albania that in name is Muslim. But all religion was outlawed for a long time. And so that's their cultural echo. Most people would say I'm Muslim, but they have no idea what that means. It just means that, yeah, we used to be Muslim sometime. So you have a wide range of differences. But one of the things we find is that particularly because of media today, youth culture is very similar across these countries. They're listening
Of their musical heroes?
They're listening to the same music. They're watching the same TV shows. They're reading many of the same things. And so we put the young people together and you go, they kind of belong to that global village. You'd be surprised. You'd see a group of young people here and you'd go, I don't exactly know where those people are. You'd look at their clothes and how they're acting and I'd have to turn on the sound so that you could hear that it was something different. So I would say youth culture really does transcend many of those barriers.
So there is not just a regional, but you're saying a kind of a global youth culture that is emerging even stronger in the 21st century than it was in the 20th.
And even in the last 8 or 10 years, since the advent of internet connections and media and things like that, I was just down in Albania and was talking with a 5-year-old girl who spoke absolutely fluent English. I said, where did you learn it? Cartoons, YouTube. And so they're watching YouTube cartoons and they watch enough of them and all of a sudden they speak English.
So they're seeing the best and the worst of the West.
That's exactly, they are.
And you're trying to bring the best of all things, which was from the very first century in a region that they only realized was going to affect the entire world, just down southeast of here along the Levant and the Eastern Mediterranean. Out comes from nowhere this modern Christian movement. And they've been moving across Europe in one millennia. It receded in another. It's coming back roaring with a new fire. Yeah. And you, Dave, get to be right at the very center of it. Your people, I know I've seen the pride in your eyes as you talk to the people that Josiah Venture is raising up that are not just foreign missionaries as a second culture here in Europe, but a new wave of first culture ownership and leadership from that first generation of changed youth, which you had prayed for.
Many of our staff actually trusted Christ through our ministry, and it's so exciting to see them now in their 20s, early 30s, absolutely changing their countries for Jesus Christ.
Where are you going now, and why is God calling you there?
Mm-hmm. Well, the countries of Central and Eastern Europe are not much larger than a state would be in the United States, but when you cross the border, you enter a whole new culture and language. So the barriers are great, as you mentioned. There are a lot of places that need to be reached. The young people need to be reached with the gospel. So we have a target zone of 25 countries on our list. We're in 13 of them right now, so there's another 12 to go. And we're challenging our team who's going to go. And one of the exciting things is to see nationals step up to the plate. So we have a Czech missionary in Latvia, a Czech couple in Ukraine. And it's starting to happen that the young leaders are going from one country to another and really pioneering the gospel in those places.
And they're not just following the example of your missionary thinking for their own people, but they're thinking like you thought, stepping out of America to come be a second culture missionary here. They're becoming second culture missionaries along with you in the same way by learning a new language and taking their families and putting them into schools in those new nations that they're going to. That's a big leap.
Yeah,
it's
quite a challenge.
It's happening so fast.
Yeah.
Why do you think they're responding to it so well?
Well, one of our challenges one of our goals is to mobilize from the harvest to the harvest. And we just see, we focus on disciple-making on the steps of Jesus. And his core disciple-making calls had to do with the ends of the earth. He said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And neither of those commands were to the United States or some particular location. It was to all believers. So to be a fully formed disciple of Christ, you have to have a heart for the nations and be ready to go wherever he sends us. So part of our disciple making of these leaders is instilling in them that sense of the Great Commission belongs to us, all of us.
And you sit literally at the seat of a similar mission call that erupted from the mountains right around us.
Yeah, that's right.
Christian David and the original Moravian revival began just a few miles around the corner of the next bridge of mountains.
Yeah, this is part of what drew us to this area. But in the early 1700s, there was a religious awakening, spiritual awakening in this area. That they got kicked out because of religious persecution, went to the estate of a German count, and there was another revival that gave them a heart for the world, and they began sending out missionaries. And that Moravian movement accomplished more in the next 20 years of missions than the entire Protestant church had done in the 200 years up to that.
And we're talking the ends of the earth here. We're not just talking about the region.
This is in the 1700s, and they sent missionaries to South Africa, to Greenland, to Alaska. They put a missionary on Captain Cook's ship around the world, and he shared the gospel the whole around the world with Captain Cook. They sent missionaries to Australia, to India. It's just as amazing when you think all of this was on ships and with no communications. And the other thing they did is they would take up an offering. They teach the missionary a skill, but they take up an offering just for his voyage, and he was expected to support himself on the mission field. Tremendous challenges. But they were responsible. It was really the first modern missionary movement, and it started just about 15 miles from where we're sitting right here in the eastern part of this Czech Republic.
And anybody in America who has studied even a little bit of church history in our country understands that they had a seed that grew here in Moravia that paid big fruit in America through the Great Awakening. We're going to come back and talk about the bleeding edge of the gospel now and where Josiah Venture is finding its new challenges and its new opportunities on tomorrow's program. So, Dave, thank you again for joining us on Compassion Radio.
Thank you.
And that wraps up day two of a three-part series of Bram Floria's interview with Dave Patty of Josiah Venture in an interview recorded several weeks back in the Czech Republic. Be sure to tune in for tomorrow's conclusion right here.
Friends, we have a brand new Bible project for this month of September that we are really excited about. This year, Josiah Venture will release a brand new dual language Bible in the Slovene language. It's the first new edition of God's Word available in decades for this language group. A new student revival is beginning to break loose right now, and Bibles are desperately needed. They are planning a first printing of 2,000 dual language Bibles, and they can do it for only $4 a copy. Will you help us help Josiah Venture bring the Word of God to a new generation of believers in Slovenia? With your gift today, we can do it. Perhaps you can send a Bible. Perhaps you can send 100. Perhaps you'd like to fund the entire first printing. For your above and beyond giving this month to our Bibles for Slovenia project, and when you request it, we have a truly unique dual language Bible. This is a marvelous and very personal special premium. Ask for yours today with your gift to this project of $24 or more. And please remember that we don't do what we do without you. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or online 24/7 at our safe and secure website, CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we look forward to being with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.